Isn't that worship good this morning? I don't think we were trying to create an atmosphere. I think we were coming in and trying to honor a king. I want to take just a few moments this morning. I don't want to spend hours teaching, though I could and would love to, but I'm not going to. I want to just release something this morning, and we'll probably continue on it Wednesday night so we can develop it further. I encourage you to the services you miss, listen to the podcast. That way you stay in the heartbeat of what God is saying in the house, whether it be myself or James or Nick or whoever's releasing the word. I just highly encourage. I know some guys can't come on Wednesday nights, and that's cool, but listen to the podcast. Get the podcast and feed yourself. Let God speak to you and stir in you. I had a good, really good, felt like breakthrough. I don't know if it, if the Lord would call it breakthrough, but it sure did feel like breakthrough this week. And, you know, I was pretty honest last Sunday coming in, and we talk about different things, and, that we don't know and we don't understand, and it challenges us. But we have this history with God. And so we lean into that history, and we lean into His promises, and we lean into the things that He has done and said in the past, and what we know He's going to do in the future, and what we know His heart is for us. And sometimes that has to be enough, but as we do that and we lean in and we place our trust in that, then I find as we get along with the Lord and we spend this time with the Lord, that's where breakthrough comes in those places. And in my life, I have found that the places I've had these what felt like breakthrough, it is almost always because of time spent with the Lord. Segregated time, consecrated time where I come in and I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to get alone with you. And it might be working on the farm, but I'm getting alone with God. And I'm listening to His word, and I'm praying, and I'm meditating, and I'm worshiping. And it's in those moments that I'm nourished and I'm strengthened and set back on the right spot where I need to be set. If you ever feel like you need a recalibration, that's the way you get it. And sometimes it's you saturate yourself with the word. You saturate yourself with the written word. You saturate yourself with the spoken word. And you get hooked up, and you tap in to these men and women of God that God's placed in your life. God's placed Bill Johnson in my life, and I've never spent time with him. We've been in the same venue, and I've sat close to him and all that, but we've never shared a meal together or anything like that. But I know he's a gift from God to me. And so I want you to realize God's very personal, and God's brought people into your life. And it may be people that are afar and you don't know, but He's brought them into your life. And so allow God to flow through that. So let's come in, and I want to release something this morning. I want to talk about when seed becomes bread and when bread becomes seed. In Luke 9, we see a beautiful story. I love the story in Luke 9. We find it also in Mark 6. We find it in Matthew 14. We also find it in John. It's in all the Gospels. And it's the story of when Jesus sent His disciples out, the 12 disciples specifically. Another occasion He sent 70 out by two. But in this instance, He sent out the 12 disciples. They were pretty fresh in the ministry. And He gave them authority. He gave them a commission. And He said, I've given you power over all demonic spirits. I give you power over sickness. And He says, now go out, release this. Basically, Jesus came announcing the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And He gave them access into the kingdom of heaven. He said, now go release it into the earth. This is why I'm here. When He stood in Isaiah 61, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to preach the good news, to preach that the kingdom of heaven is not at hand, but it's here now. And so He sent His disciples out, and they had great success. They went out and they healed the sick. They preached the kingdom. They cast out demons. And at the end of this time, and we don't see the exact time frame, but at the end of this time, they came back and they were ecstatic. They were on cloud nine, man. They were coming back and they said, God, even Jesus, even the demons are subject unto us. You released authority unto us and we're walking in this authority. And this was absolutely amazing. And they come back, and in the Gospel of Mark, it says that there was such a throng around everybody and around the fact that Jesus was there. His disciples were coming back. There was an energy that was taking place. There was an anointing that was present because Jesus was there. And the people were just coming in with needs. They were coming in with hunger for presence. And it said that there was so much in the Gospel of Mark, there was so much going about that they couldn't even take time for a meal. And so Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, guys, I'm going to take you away and we're going to go into this desert place outside of Bethsaida. And we're going to go to this desert place and we're going to rest there and we're going to have a meal there. And we're going to let you guys regroup and all. And how many of you know sometimes that's essential? Sometimes that's crucial. I want to encourage you to carve out the time. Carve out time for rest. Carve out time for you. Carve out time for bread. One thing the Lord's trying to teach me this year, I think I'm on a journey of learning this year, is He's trying to teach me the difference in seed and bread. But as I get more into this on Him teaching me the difference in seed and bread, it gets grayer and the lines get blurred. Because as I study this and as I look in this and as I experience this in my life, a lot of times what I think is bread will turn into seed. And what I think is seed will turn into bread. And so I encourage you to carve out that. One reason that Lori and I have been ridiculously successful in our marriage is we've always carved out time for each other. We've come in and we know that our life is not, we're not one with our children, we're one with each other. And we've always carved out date nights and we've always carved out time for us. That we can, if I can give you any marital advice whatsoever, is number one, seek the Lord with all your heart. And number two, carve out space for you guys. After you start having children, and no timetable, you know, I keep throwing that out there. No timetable, but just saying. But even as you begin to have children and all of that stuff, carve out that space for you. And I can't say that enough about our relationship with God, because we come in and we're around the busyness of God, but we don't carve out our time with God and for God. So I want to challenge everybody in that. But the disciples come back and Jesus said, I'm going to take you to a desert place. And so they go to this place. It's outside of Bethsaida. And verse 10, and it says, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. The Gospel of Mark is a little bit more detailed in the fact that it said that the disciples and Jesus left by ship to go to this place. And when the people knew him and they knew where he hung out, and they said, I know where he's going, and it said that they outran him. They went around by land, and they actually got there before Jesus did. And I preached a sermon that I think is real significant one time a year or two ago. And I said that when we know him intimately, we know where he is going. And a lot of times we can get there before he does. You say, how is that possible? His mother did this with the miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. We can go to these places by faith. And we can say, God, I know you're going to do this. The Syrophoenician woman did this when she came to him. And the gospel had not been released to the Gentiles yet that we see in the book of Acts chapter 10. It had not been released yet. But she came by a place in a place of faith. Before the kingdom had got to that point in time, she got there early and she said, God, you can do anything. And he even tried to discourage her. And she said, I'm not moving by faith. I believe that you're going to do this. And God moved and he marveled at her faith. So I believe that we can go to this place. But that's not the text this morning. They went there and they got there before Jesus. And it said when they landed by the ship, by the boat, when they got there, it said the crowd was already there. And he was moved with compassion on them because he saw the sickness, he saw the needs, and he saw the hunger. And so immediately, what did Jesus do? He's like, man, this ain't why we came. In the scripture here, he said that they had left privately with the intention of going and having rest and food. He said, y'all have been busy. Y'all been doing tremendous things. Y'all been healing the sick. Y'all been casting out demons. Y'all been releasing the kingdom of heaven. It has been chaos, and now we need a vacay. And so they went with the intention of rest and food, recharging their batteries. But when they got there, need was there. And so immediately, what did Jesus do? Jesus began to shift. He didn't have group discussion with the disciples. He didn't say, hey guys, this is what we need to do or anything like that. He immediately started ministering. So what looked like it was going to be bread, immediately what happened? It turned to seed. It immediately turned to seed. It immediately turned to seed. And we have to be in the place to where when we are expecting bread and it turns to seed, we're okay with that. I'll even go a step further. You don't have to be okay with that. You have to understand you were built for that. You have to understand you were built for that. We are built to come in. How many of you, I know me and Lori did, and our family has, Isaiah 59, 60, 61, 62, those three or four chapters right in there. A few years ago, we kind of claimed that, and we said that's our scripture. That's God's promises to us. I know it's God's promises to Israel, but it's God's promises to us. And I claim those promises, and I claim that scripture, and I go back to it. I probably read that in the Gospel of John more than I do any scripture in the Bible. And I go back to Isaiah 60, and I go back to Isaiah 61, and Jesus actually quoted Isaiah 61 when he began his public ministry, and you look at that, and Randy, it is full of amazing promises. But if you'll look at the first 10 verses of that chapter intermingled in all the midst of those amazing promises, you know what it says? He says, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because He's anointed me to preach the good news. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up those that are broken. He has sent me to repair waste cities. He has sent me to rebuild walls. He has sent me to do all of these things. So in we would come in and we're just like, man, Isaiah 61, that's cool scripture, and I want to embrace it and all that stuff. But in the middle of Isaiah 61, you know what I see? I see just as much seed as I see bread. Everybody understands what I'm talking about when I'm saying seed and bread, right? Seed's what I sow. Seed's what I invest. Seed is what I give. Seed is what I release. Bread is the residual that I get. And we come in and we say, well, bread is what sustains us. But I want to come in and I want to suggest through the scripture and I want to suggest through Jesus and all of that stuff that in actuality, our seed becomes our bread, and seed is the most significant thing that we have because seed becomes our bread. In John chapter 4, Jesus is at the well of Samaria. He sends his disciples to get bread. We all know the story, the woman at the well. He's sitting out there. The Samaritan woman comes. She's a woman that is not virtuous. Let's just put it that way. And she comes out, and Jesus engages in all of this conversation with her, and Jesus engages in ministry with her. And he begins to talk to her about the kingdom of God, and begins to talk about true worship, and begins to talk about the Spirit of God, and begins to come across and declares and tells her that I'm the Messiah. In John 6, he declares, I'm the bread of life. And he does all of these things, and this woman is transformed, and she goes back to Samaria and she says, I met a man that told me everything that I'd ever done. And it was not out of condemnation, but it was out of love, and it was out of mercy, and it was out of grace, and she was transformed by this, and she began to lead people in the town of Samaria. She began to lead them to a place of faith so that they came out to see Jesus. In the meantime, his disciples come back with the food that he sent them to get. And they see the woman that he'd been talking with, and they see her leaving, and they're like, oh, golly, this is an awkward situation. You know, this is bad. What's going on here and all this? And they said, we brought food. And Jesus is like, I don't need food. And they said, yeah, but you sent us to get food. And he said, I have meat that you know not of. I have meat that you know not of. I have meat that you know not of. And then he comes in, and he a couple verses on into his dialogue with him. He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me and to finish His work. That's exactly what He said. He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me and to do His work. So what He's saying is this seed that I have been doing with this woman's well, you know what it is? It has actually been my bread. Y'all were out looking for physical bread. And He said, this is my bread. This is the thing. And what He's saying that, not that we don't have to eat physically. Yes, we have to eat physically. But the thing that we are built for and the only thing that will satisfy us, we go through life and people are unfulfilled. If I could sum up humanity with one word, you know what that one word would be, Eric? Unfulfilled. You know why people have affairs? It's because they're unfulfilled in where they are in their marriage. I'll sum it up. One thing, that's why people have affairs. It's not because they're a sex addict or all these other lame excuses that we put on them in society. It's because they are unfulfilled in the relationship that they're in. They're unfulfilled. Do you know why people turn to substance abuse? It's because they are unfulfilled. And so they feel like something is missing in my life. You know why people are nomadic in their faith and they move from church to church and from sometimes even faith to faith to faith. You know, and I've seen people and they go from, you know, I'm going to try, I've tried it all. I've tried Catholicism and I've tried Protestant and I've tried Buddhism and I've tried all of these things and I'm on this spiritual journey. And the reason that they go from denomination to denomination and faith to faith and genre to genre is because they are unfulfilled in their relationship with Yahweh. So if I could use one word to describe society, it's unfulfilled. And I want to tell you something, guys. The only place that we are ever going to find fulfillment is in right relationship through Jesus Christ with Yahweh. That is the only place that we're ever going to find fulfillment. Because that is the only place that we're going to find true identity and true beloved status. That's the only place you're going to find it. That's the only place you're going to find it in true acceptance. It's not how many likes you get on Instagram. It's not how many followers you have. Or I don't know if they do likes on Instagram, but they do followers, right? Facebook's the one that does likes. Somebody help me. I don't do social media. Am I correct? Okay. We kind of slid over into this a little bit the other night. There are kids out there now, and adults too, and they'll put a post on something, and if immediately, if they don't have enough likes on that, they'll pull that post down. And you know what that is? That's a spirit of rejection that's on them. It's a spirit of rejection. You know what that leads to? Unfulfilled. Because they struggle with who I am. And if they get a bunch of likes and they get a bunch of followers, you know what happens? All of a sudden, they feel good about themselves. But I want to tell you, that's fleeting. I want to tell you, that's fleeting. That's fleeting. And the only bread that we are ever going to find, the only thing that is ever going to satisfy, and the only thing that is ever going to fulfill is when we get into this place of right relationship with Jesus Christ. We get this right relationship with Yahweh through Jesus Christ. And the thing, listen to me, this is important. The thing about this is that when we're in this relationship with God, we cannot come in and categorize every part of our life and say, this is going to be bread, and I'm notching out this time, and this is seed. And I'm going to pull out these slots, and here's an hour here, and 2 hours here, and an hour there, and that's when I'm going to do ministry. That's when I'm going to serve Yahweh, and the rest of the time's for me. Y'all remember the teaching that I threw out there to begin with this morning. Heaven's expectation is that we always bring back more than what we are given. That's heaven's expectation. That's not Sid's expectation. The church and society will come in and say, give a tithe and give a first fruit, and God's good with that. But you go home and you study Matthew 25, and Matthew 25 says, Tyler, the one guy says, I just want to cover what he's given me. I just want to guard what he's given me. And he says, you're wicked and slothful. But the one that used and grew it, the one that took it and allowed the seed to become bread and the bread to become seed, that was the one, he says, well done. Now enter into my glory. Now enter into my blessing. I'm going to give you and trust you with all of this stuff. And that's the place of being used, and that's the place of being fulfilled. And so I look in this with the disciples in this story, and what I want to really just release to you guys is that you have to be so fluid with God, because He's fluid with us. because they come in with the intention of saying, man, we are going and we're going to have rest and a meal. And when they got there, it looked nothing like rest and a meal. Randy, it quickly became 20,000 people. Can you imagine going from the busyness of a house and saying, man, let's just go. And I can see them saying, and Jesus in his thought process, let's go. You say, well, Jesus knew everything. Well, he told the guys, let's go to a place to rest. Maybe he was setting them up. I don't know. But I'm sure they're sitting there thinking, man, we're going to go up there and we're going to pitch a tent and we're going to build a campfire and we're going to cook some fish or some backstrap or something and we're going to spend some time with just us and rest. And that's what they longed for. That's what they thought they needed. But circumstances said otherwise. And so all of a sudden, immediately, they were thrust in this thing where all of these people were there and all of this need was there. And I want to tell you something, guys. You're built for need. You are built. And it gets on my nerves. Can I be honest to you? It, in my flesh, it gets on my nerves. Dysfunctional people get on my nerves. They do. Jacked up people get on my nerves. And I'm like, can't you just get your junk together? And then the Lord reminds me I'm dysfunctional too in my own ways. But dysfunctional people get on my nerves. But the reality is, if we're in culture and we're society, you know what we're going to do? What does he tell us in Isaiah 61? He says, I want you to heal the brokenhearted, bind up the brokenhearted, bind up those things that are broken, that are dysfunctional, and be the balm of Gilead, the healing balm of Gilead. That. So what's part of the promise in Isaiah 61? That we are going to attract, we want to attract good looking and cool people, right? That have means. And God said, you know what? You're going to be so attractive. You're going to attract all of the moths and all of the mosquitoes and all the jacked up folks. Now, I'm not saying all you guys are jacked up and that's why you're here, because I attracted all of you guys. Obviously, we're not speaking hypothetically. We're speaking real life. Do not be surprised when you go and you think this is my time for bread and all of a sudden God sends you messed up people. And sometimes it's really good people that have a really good heart. The young lady that Lori was talking about the other day, that she was talking about just recently that we've been ministering to and all of that stuff. She's a sweet, wonderful kid and loves the Lord. She just got off track. She just got off track. The enemy came in and derailed her. Derailed her. But through God encounter, she's back on track and she's doing wonderful and all that. But in that moment, I mean, I sit down with her and I'm like, really? What are you thinking? I'm like, what are you thinking? Because it was so jacked up. Not in a condemnation, because she knows how much I love her. And that's what we're called to be in front of and called to minister to. And I want to tell you something, guys. When you said yes to Jesus, it was not just saying yes to, oh, I'm forgiven of my sins and I'm going to get a ticket and go to heaven. All of a sudden, I'm living the nice little comfortable Christian life. The real Christian life is not comfortable in the natural. The real Christian life is we're going over here, and when we get over here, guess what's thrown up in our face? People in need. People that are hurting. People that are hungry. People that are looking. And I'm sorry, but we can't default to everybody else. Lori put a sign in our kitchen. She's big on getting little signs and stuff like that. I like them. That was not a derogatory mark. I really like them. And one of the little signs she put in there, it says, what good thing will you do today? What good thing will you do today? What good thing will you do today? We recently, just this past week actually, we purposed in our heart a while back to do it. Our friend David Logue was in town, and a lot of you guys have not had the opportunity to meet him, and you will at some point in time. But he's a missionary down in Honduras, and he's been down there for years since he basically came out of high school. And had just given his life to serving the poor people of Honduras and all of that. And when we were down there in September, we were talking to him. We were just sitting around in the kitchen with Marty and Krista and David and us and a few folks. And we were just talking about, you know, the funds and different things like that. And I'm like, well, maybe we'll have a fundraiser for you when you get in the States. And, I don't know how serious he thought we were about it. And he texted, me and him were emailing, texting back and forth recently in the house. I'm like, hey man, when are you coming into the States? And he gave me the dates and I'm like, wow, you know, we're going to be in Utah most of that. And he was going to be home like 2 days. 3 days, I think. 3 days after we got in from Utah, and we'd spent a week out there and we'd been sick, and I'm still sick. I'm not running a fever, so don't worry, but still battling all this junk and all of this stuff. And we had about, a 48 hour turnaround when we got into when we could host a little event for him at the house. And so we said, you know what, we'll invite a few couples over, and it was a small gathering, and we had a few people come over and all of that, and we had a good meal for them and everything, and we sit down, and David shared his heart, and people got to meet David and spend time with him and all that. And in that evening that we spent together with just a small gathering of people, we raised over $5,700, Tyler, with just a few couples in one night. Over $5,700. That's pretty good. For David was like, wow, man, this is awesome. I told him before we gathered, I said, I'd be surprised if we don't raise $5,000 tonight. And he's like, really? And I said, yeah, I really will, because I know the people I've invited. And it wasn't wealthy people. It was just a few, it's a small gathering of some couples. But I knew, you know what the definition of culture is? Culture is people that have a similar value system and are pursuing the same things. We talk about wanting to carve out culture and all that. I've created a culture in my home, and I've created a culture on my farm. And that's because our family, as a whole, we have a like value system and we have like pursuit. And so God wants us to come in, and God wants us to create culture with people that we do life with. He wants us to create, and he wants that to expand, and he wants that to grow. And the reason I tell you that is because we did something small and we did something simple, but it was something big in the life of a person that's a missionary in another country, and it's something significant to the people of Honduras just in one night of saying, what good thing will you do today? And I'm not special because I did that. Lori's not special because we did that. You can do the same thing. I say that to empower you. You can do the same thing. What if the next owner of Tom's is sitting in this room today? I don't know if he's a kingdom man or if he's just a good philanthropist, but he's given away over 90 million pairs of shoes. Wrap your head around that, Ashley. 90 million pairs of shoes he has freely given to people all over the world. They're doing eye surgeries now. Y'all heard me talk about that. They're doing eye surgeries now. And it's all because I believe God planted a seed in his heart. Because there were some missionaries from England that were giving away shoes in Argentina, and God planted a seed in his heart. So you know what he did? He gave back more than what God had given him. And so I want us to be a people that look for opportunity. And here's my thing on this, guys, is I do not want us to begrudge when bread becomes seed. Because a lot of times you guys and myself will get ticked off with God when what we think is going to be bread turns into seed. We think, God, it's time for me to get some of this, and it's time for me to rest, and it's time for me to do this, and it's time for me to do that, and I need this. Legitimately, I need this. And Jesus comes in and he says, you have meat that you know not of. And your meat is due to the will of the Father that sent you and to finish his work. And I made a statement when we were finished with the evening, and I think it was probably just me and Lori and Marty and Krista and David. And I was not speaking this to me because I meant to tell it to all the couples that were there. And I made a statement and I said, we are built for this. We're built for this. And I believe it for me and Lori, we're built for that, stuff like that. But also believe it about Tyler and Amber, y'all built for stuff like that. Y'all were built for stretching and expanding. Y'all were built for bringing resource into the kingdom, into the world, the kingdom stuff into the world. You're built for growing things by faith. You're built for growing things by passion. One of the mandates for God for me this year is for me to be more passionate. When he told me that, I laughed. I really did. I was like Sarah. I laughed. I said, God, I'm probably the most passionate person I know. He said, not like I want you to be. He said, not like I want you to be. He said, you're passionate, but my gosh, I want you to get so over the top in your passion for me. And I want to grow this thing to where you come in and you don't get ticked off when your bread turns into seed. You get excited when your bread turns into seed. Because then immediately what happens in this, when bread becomes seed, you know what happens? The seed then becomes bread. And God wants to take it to this place from glory to glory. From glory to glory. That the eye has not seen and ear has not heard. And you're like, Brother Sid, what are you talking about? How do we stretch it? It's got to stretch beyond this, guys. It's got to stretch beyond this. And I want to have evenings that we host somehow that we don't raise $5,700. We raise $57,000. We're not calling on rich and famous people. We're not calling on people that are successful. Yeah, we are, but it's people that have a similar value system and are in like pursuit. And we get stuck in this thing, Randy, and we put this lid on it in our faith. And one of the words that God's already given me for this year is faith that explores. Faith that explores. And God wants to so grow us in our faith and so stretch us in our imagination of what He can do in us and through us. The Lord reminds me of, y'all know I like to hunt and fish. And I'm passionate about it. And God's growing me and expanding me in that, and in my career in that, my journey in that. I remember the first time I caught a trout, and I was so pumped with a fly rod. First time I caught a trout with a fly rod, and I went up and I was on the South Holston, Eric, and I didn't know beans about fly fishing. I'd never been. I didn't know anything about it. And I went up and Matt Champion carried me to the water right across the cabin it would stay at sometimes. And right there, and I remember I caught a rainbow trout and it was about that big and it was a stock fish. It was a stalker. And I was thrilled by that. But as I go in my journey in fishing, and all of that stuff, if I catch a stock fish now, I don't care how big it is. We carried Paul up there last year we went, and Paul had never been. And Matt told me, he said, they released a bunch of hens in the lake, and there's a bunch of in the river. And he said, there's these from the hatchery, and he said, they're like 18, 20-inch fish. And he says, I'm just going to give you a heads up. And we didn't tell Paul. And we ain't been there 15 minutes, and Paul catches a big old fat 18-inch rainbow. And it was a good fight and all of that stuff and everything. And afterwards we told Paul, we said, man, that's a stalker. You know, Matt done told me, he said, if we catch any of them, we ain't taking no pictures of them. And you see how it's progressed? Now it's like, I want it to be wild. I want it to be wild. The fact that of what it is not enough. But I want it to be wild. And I want to go to these wild places. You know, I was in Montana this past year, and I was like, this is too commercialized for me. I'm serious. I'm floating down a river, in the Madison River in Montana, catching wild trout, and I'm like, this is too commercialized for me. That's why I like going to Patagonia. I'll go down there and fish all day and not see another person on a wild river. Now, y'all pray for Lori. Bless her. I'm planning a trip to Mongolia right now. You know, I'm the good time and the largest trout in the world. You know, where you fly in there with an old Russian military helicopter and they drop you off. That's gonna happen a couple. Y'all pray for Lori, man. We've been watching videos already. And like, we're going to Mongolia, baby. We're going to catch time and trout. And here's the thing, is God wants to carry our faith like that. God wants to carry our kingdom experience like that. And the reason that so often we feel unfulfilled is because we have spent our life catching 6-inch stocker fish in the kingdom, and God says, I've got so much more for you than that out there. Because you are built to release heaven into an earth that desperately needs it. But if you don't get over the hump of being ticked off when God turns your bread into seed, you're never going to get there. If you don't get over the hump of being inconvenienced, if you don't get over the hump of saying, this is hard, and I'm tired, but look at the need. Look at the need. Look at the hurting people. Yes, they're dysfunctional. Yes, they're jacked up. Yes, they're messed up. But so was I. And so are you. Sometimes I go to Honduras and I'm like, get a better work ethic. Just work harder. Me and Randy Hagin teach y'all folks how to work down here. But it's a different culture. They didn't have Ed and Jerry. His fathers said, let me show you how to do it, boys. And so you know what they're in need of? Not for us to Americanize them, but for us to go in and release the kingdom of heaven into their nation and provide opportunity so that God can elevate them and God can raise them up and God can grow them up and God can raise spiritual fathers. God can raise entrepreneurs. That's one thing I like about what David's doing besides his servant's heart. Man, these boys he's raising up, you know, they're valedictorians. They come from a system of broken homes. But they're giving them education and they're becoming lawyers and agricultural engineers and all that. And you know what they're doing? They're going back into the country, into the nation of Honduras. And you can fill in the blank. It could be San Salvador. It could be Guatemala. It could be Uganda. I am so moved by Katie Davis. And Amazima. Go check out their website. Get on their mailing list. They'll see, she sends me emails every, she doesn't, her organization sends me emails about every week and I'm moved and stirred. And it's because a 19-year-old girl from Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, refused to be satisfied catching a 6-inch stocker fish. So quit coming in and saying, man, being a consumer, I want to kill this whole consumer mindset in our church. I really do. I want to kill a consumer mindset in here. I do not want it to have any play. And that might be why some people don't come anymore, because we're killing that consumer mindset. If you're a consumer, you will not be comfortable at Victory Fellowship. But if you have a heart for, I want to honor the King and what good thing can I do today? Then you're going to feel right at home. You're going to feel right a part of the culture that God's creating. And you're going to say, how can I come in and how can I release and declare the kingdom of heaven is here? It's not at hand, it's here, it's now. And how can we release this into this earth? And you know what happens in that? Your bread becomes seed. But you know what happens out of your bread becoming seed? Your seed then becomes bread. And all of a sudden, then you say, I'm built for this. I'm built for this. I'm built for this. When you go out west, you got an adventurous spirit. And when you go out west and you stand on a mountain and you get on a bowl and all that, man, I wish we could go ski together or something. We'd challenge each other and we'd stretch each other and we'd be like, oh, really? Okay, yeah, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it and all that stuff. A lot of that's what the kingdom of heaven's about. Is iron sharpening iron and stretching and all of that. But down in you guys, y'all are saying, man, we're built for this. I'm not built for tame. I'm built for this, right? Okay? All that is a snapshot. All that is a mirrored reflection of what God has put in you for kingdom purposes. the thing in me that makes me want to go to Mongolia and catch a diamond trout, all that is a reflection of the kingdom. Faith that explores that I'm built for. And I want to convince you guys, you're built for this stuff. You are built for this stuff. You're built for this stuff. We don't think it. We don't realize it. And we try to play it down. And we're like, man, I don't want to. God wants to stretch you to the place of uncomfortable. But in the place of uncomfortable, you know what? You'll come in at the end of that and you'll say, whew, this is so what I'm built for. To live by faith. To live by trust. To live by hope. And here's the thing about it is that God holds us up with His hand in the place of beloved identity. And so you don't come in and say, the whole story, and we don't have time to teach all this morning, or I won't take the time to teach all this, we've got time, but I won't take the time. At the end of the long day, the disciples said, we got to dismiss the people because we don't have any food for them. And He said, you feed them. And they're like, Lord, I don't have anything to feed them. And that's our mindset. I don't have anything to feed them. I don't have anything to feed them. He said, what do you have? We know the story. 5 loaves, 2 small fish. It wasn't even big fish. They were 6-inch stalkers. 5 loaves, 2 small fish. And He says, tell them to sit down in companies of 50. We know the story. Here's the thing, guys. They were expecting a nice weekend with Jesus. And it got totally disrupted. But they walked away from this event. 2 things happened on this event. They walked away saying, we just fed 20,000 people. With 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And if your bread doesn't turn into seed, that doesn't happen. You know what happened on the heels of this? Jesus sent them across the sea as He was going to dismiss the people. Y'all know the story? They got in the boat. The wind was boisterous. They were freaking out. They were going to die. Jesus comes walking on the water. And as soon as He got in the boat, they asked Him. They thought He was a ghost to start with. And then they said, He said, it's me. Don't be afraid. They asked Him to get in the boat. As soon as He stepped in the boat, you know what happened? The waves were calm. And they are like, what manner of man is this? Here at the end of the day, guys, if you don't get stretched out of your little bread place, you never experience those things. You never make the team because you never go out. You never try. You never stretch yourself. Haven't let God stretch you all over the place. Let Him stretch you all over the place. Because you will experience things in a place of natural discomfort or natural, maybe it's frustrating and all of that stuff. But you will experience things. And it seems like, boy, the enemy did this. Golly, I can't believe this is going to happen. And God's like, this is a setup from me. And your bread's about to turn into seed. I bet there's a small part. You know my heart toward you. I bet there's a small part of you that didn't like having to share Paul with your mom to start with. If you're honest. She's like, man, it's been me and mom for a long time now. A good part of my life has been me and mom. And then you got this guy comes in. And I like him. He's a good guy. But I'm having to share my mom with him. And you know what that is? You know what that was? That was bread turning into seed. This is good right here. That was bread turning into seed. That was bread turning into seed. Because I promise you, your mom and Paul are more powerful together than they were apart. They are more significant together than they were apart. So your bread turning into seed now becomes bread for a multitude, for a whole world. I thought that was a good illustration right there. It just came to me. Would y'all not agree? And Paul had to trust in the goodness of Yahweh to move on Haman's heart, where she not only was okay with it, but she embraced it. She said, I see this is awesome. He's not my biological father, but he's my spiritual father now. So I say yes to this. And so your bread that turned into seed, now what did it turn back into in your life? Bread. You got it. You'll walk away remembering this sermon now. And when something happens to you next week and you're like, this is inconvenience, you know what will come up in your mind? Maybe this is seed. And I know what happens to seed. Seed turns into bread. And the seed doesn't just turn into bread for me, but the seed turns into bread for how many? In this story, 20,000 people. So if we'll get over ourselves and we'll get out of our way and we'll be adventurous in our faith and we'll have a faith that explores, then God will take all of these little inconveniences and all of these little things and He'll turn bread into seed and seed into bread. And the multitude's blessed because of it. And we think that it was a hindrance in our life. We think that it was a setback in our life. And God said, out of this, I'm going to bring amazing things that will change your trajectory. Never again would the disciples doubt Jesus' ability to turn lack into abundance. He did these little things. They were pressured to pay taxes one time. So much so they came to Jesus and they were like, man, we owe taxes. He said, render unto Caesar. What's Caesar's? Great, but that doesn't answer our question. How are we going to pay taxes, Jesus? It's about to be April 15th. And you know what He told them? Y'all remember? He said, go down there and by faith, cast out into the sea, and you'll catch a fish. And when you bring that fish in, you'll have what you need. The fish had gold coin. If God can do that, if He takes care of the sparrow, and He clothes the lilies in their beautiful array, He said King Solomon in all of His glory was not clothed like the lilies, how much more is He going to take care of us? So that's what I'm trying to say this morning. Is He'll take what you think is bread and He'll say, this is seed. And if you will properly approach seed, it'll become your bread. And you'll walk away from these things and you may be physically tired, but you'll walk away from these things and you'll say, this is what I was built for. This is what I was built for. This is what I was built for. So, man, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask a worship team, if they will, to come up. Y'all come on up, guys. Y'all, whatever y'all want to play, don't matter to me. As long as it's good and anointed and all that stuff. Here's what I feel like. God's really wanting to say and release to a lot of people this morning. I think two things happen. I think number one, it is a legitimate attack of the enemy on your life. It's a legitimate attack of the enemy. and he means to destroy you. He means to sift you as wheat. We had that word during worship. But what the enemy means for evil, God will turn it to good. You're facing stuff this year and you're like, man, I am dreading this because I know what, so I see it on the horizon. And it may legitimately be the enemy. And you simply, listen to me, this is important. Sometimes all you can lean on is what the word of the Lord said to you. When these disciples got in the ship, Jesus was not in the ship with them. Paul simply told them, he said, go get in the ship, go to the other side, and I'll meet you there. And they got in the middle of a storm. And the word, if you study the word closely in this, it said Jesus started walking on the water in the third watch or fourth watch. It's about 3 a.m., middle of the night. In the middle of a storm, Jesus is walking on the water, and it said he would have passed them by. They're freaking out, and it said he would have passed them by. You say, that's kind of unkind. No, I'd already given them a word and told them I'd meet them on the other side. Sometimes you're going to go through a storm, and the only thing you have to lean on is what the Word of God has been spoken to you or written in the Word concerning you. But I'm here to tell you, it's enough. If he said, I'm going to complete this thing that I started, then he's going to do it, Ambry. He said, if you go to the other side and I'll meet you there, that means you're not going to drown in the middle of the lake. But if you cry out, he will get in the boat. That's beloved identity. If you cry out, he will get in the boat. And so I believe that's some of you. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to respond to him this morning. And it may simply be by coming down and taking communion and having communion with him. And saying, God, my yes to your yes. I'm strengthening my covenant with you. But there are some in here today, and what you think is the enemy is not the enemy. It is simply your bread getting turned into seed. And it may be an inconvenience, and it may be aggravating, but it's kingdom. And if you will dive in and embrace just like Jesus did, instead of saying, oh my gosh, and posting on all your social media about I can't believe this, but if you'll dive in and you'll say, I'm good with seed, then that seed, I promise you, has the capacity to turn into your bread. And it can be a tremendous, tremendous breakthrough that will change your life. And you'll see the multitudes fed. You'll see Jesus walking on water. And you will know that he is enough. So if either one of those fit to you, respond to him. Maybe you just need to make a preparatory where you come in and say, God, I know there's going to be times this year, and I'm purposing my heart right now. There are going to be times when my bread's going to look like seed. And I'm preparing my heart right now by saying yes right now. God, I embrace you bringing that into my life. It may inconvenience me. It may exhaust me. But you know what? I'm posturing myself before you right now where I say yes to this. I say yes to this. I don't know when it's coming, but I know it will come. Promise you there are going to be times where you're going to be like, really? And God's going to say, yes, really. But on the back end, you know what you'll do? You say, that sure was good bread. That sure was good bread. Sure was. You'll be able to stand on that pulpit and say, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, when the whole thing got flipped and I realized it was bread. I realized it was bread. I said, man, you guys go ahead. Lord, we just posture our hearts to you right now. Move on us as you desire, as you see fit. And our response to you today is yes. Our response to you this year is yes. In September, when my bread turns to seed, I say yes. I say yes. I say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles.
All right, let me lay this on you, this truth on you before you leave. Y'all leave with this. You cannot store up bread. You can't store bread. What happens when you try to store bread? It gets moldy. It is unfit. You have to throw it out. But you know what you can store? Seed. That's good. That's just true. Joseph stored seed in Egypt for 7 years of famine. But he couldn't store one loaf of bread. But seed has the capacity to make bread. Seed has the capacity to make bread. So when you figure what to set your heart on, when you figure out what to invest in seed, not bread. Seed will turn into bread, but you can't store bread. It'll spoil. When I say I'm trying to drive the consumer mindset out of the church, it's trying to drive the mindset out of the church that I'm going to store up bread for myself. Because I know it's an impossibility. But when we become stores of seed, Tyler, that's when we can feed the nations. That's when we feed the world. That's when we touch the world, Nick. That's when we touch the world. So, man, I bless y'all. Y'all leave this place full of the wonder of Him and the absolute trust and rest that He's a good Father and you are beloved. And He is jealous for you. He is jealous for you. We'll see you guys. Y'all have an amazing afternoon this afternoon. We'll see everybody Wednesday night. Y'all be blessed.